because they're often going, I just don't have the leaders. Well, of course you don't. You haven't created them yet. That is your job. Your job is to cultivate the people God's given you.
Welcome to the Gospel Coach Podcast. We're here to remind, refresh, resource, and re-engage with gospel coaches all around the globe. Glad you can join us. I'm your host, Jim Moon Jr., and I'm here today with the pioneer of gospel coaching, Dr. Tom Wood. He's the founder and president of CMM, where for 15 years, he's been training gospel coaches in the cross-conversation model. It has spread from Atlanta to every continent. Our goal in these podcasts is to empower you, the gospel coach, in your ongoing coaching of other leaders. We'll give you examples of what we've learned over the years and invite different guest coaches to share what they've learned through coaching to advance the gospel with their coachees. So whether you're in the U.S., Canada, England, Scotland, or Cuba, South Africa, India, Australia, Malaysia, Nigeria, or Germany, or any other nation, let's get started cross-pollinating ideas and insights in gospel coaching. We'd love to hear from you. Please feel free to send us a note at gospelcoachnetwork@gmail.com with questions and comments.
Hey, we welcome back a good friend today, David Whitehead. We had him on a few sessions ago. And alongside of being senior director with City to City and the global coaching director, he has now served on our coaching team at the senior level of coaching. I don't know, Dave, 5 or 6 years? How long has it been?
Yeah, I think maybe 7 even.
7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dave and I were at the first gospel coach training, if I remember correctly. That's where we met. And Tom put us in a tri-heart practicum together.
Oh, wow.
You guys remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that. I think that was around 2015. So,
yeah, maybe earlier.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's right. It was you and Gary and Dave were in that first trihort together from City to City when we trained in New York. Wow. Amazing.
For that picture.
Yeah.
When we were all younger and
we were all
gray.
Much younger. Yeah. You can't see David's gray hair on the podcast, but, he has turned gray.
You can hear it in my voice.
I can hear it. Anyway, we're glad that you've been part of our team these 7 years, and we advocate for him and are glad he does a tremendous job coaching people for us, and he does some training with us. As I said last time we were together, we've trained in many cities around North America, CMM training, and then helped, came alongside, and did some training with City to City stuff. And Jim went with you to...
to Buenos Aires.
Buenos Aires.
Yeah, we did the first training in South America together in Spanish.
With City
to City. Yeah.
So, Jim, boy, if you had to explain Dave to somebody, what would be some of the things you'd want to say?
I always say that Dave is a tall, strong cup of coffee.
Whoa.
From Texas, by way of where, Dave? Where did you used to live?
Well, I was raised in San Antonio. So then I became a Christian in Austin.
Yeah.
So then where you and I met and where we went through the training was as we were planting churches in New York City.
That's right. You're on the upper.
The upper
West Side. That's right.
I was
on the
Upper
West Side of New York City.
That's what I was looking for.
Our training was on the West Side, but I was on the Upper West.
Okay. Okay. As long as we got that straight.
So, Dave, in one of our training events, you did a session. We were together training, and you did a session with the planners on launch team stuff, and it was excellent. I don't want you to teach the class today on launch team things or for church planters and launch teams, because this is a podcast for coaches. So our intended audience is to help gospel coaches around the globe who've been through training, whether it's CMM or City to City versions of gospel coaching. So today, though, in our podcast, I want to ask you to help our coaches who are working with planters, me included. I'm working with some planters with the topic on launch teams, specifically what a coach can be looking for or help the planner to think through the issues, the positive landmines, et cetera, for a coach to help his coachee with launch team stuff.
Yeah, we were all planters once, and we've coached dozens of guys and supervised some. So start with the top one or two key positives before we hit the landmines, if you don't mind.
Well, I mean, positives, obviously, a launch team is key to launching a church. You have to have this group of people who really get the vision and are going to work through the vision. And so whenever a church planter can amass a launch team, that's something to celebrate. So it means that there's the capacity among that planter. That planter has had the ability to transfer the vision at a certain level. Now, here's the thing, though, is that once you've done that, then one of the things I find that comes up very often is when a planter says, you know, I feel like I'm doing all the work. You know, nobody else is coming up with ideas for this church. I'm the main spark, and I'm feeling burned out. I'm running out of energy. Or they get going and they realize, hey, that worship leader you chose really wasn't the right person for the job, or the leader of hospitality just yelled at someone who is a first-time guest, you know, something like that, which happens. So I think as a coach, I'm listening for those type of things. I'm listening to for the little blips of what they're experiencing with their launch team. And so I think launch teams can be filled with faithful people, and maybe we've heard the term FAT, but I think, which is faithful, available, teachable. That's a little acronym that's used among a lot of church planting movements. But I think we need to add a C in there and call it FACT, because there has to be competency. If you don't train them in what they need to do, then that's going to come back and hit you. And so, you know, so for a lot of folks, the launch team is the kind of launch team a planter can amass is indicative of the type of people he's actually going to attract in his church. Because, and as a coach, one of the first diagnostics that I help them to understand is that people make a decision about your church usually in the first minute walking in the room. And it's not about the preaching and it's not about the music. They come in and they ask, is there anyone here who looks like me? And if they don't, doesn't matter how good your preaching is. If they've got children that are middle school age and there are no other middle school kids there, guess what? They're going to keep moving and keep looking. And so there are exceptions to that, but that's the norm. And so it's really important for the planter to recognize that. And as a coach, I want to make sure that they're able to say, give me the lay of your launch team. What's their average age? Where are they in life? How many kids do they have? And how effective are they in capturing the imagination of a first-time guest who walks in the room?
Yeah. So I hear you saying that having a good launch team can be really, really helpful. But also, you're implying that having an incompetent launch team, or maybe even too small of a launch team, can be a landmine. How, as a coach, how do you think about that? And what kind of questions do you ask your coachee in order to discern where they are and how they can improve?
Well, I mean, if they're too small, then and there is no such thing as too large, too small in my mind, Jim. It's managing expectations. It's if you're inviting someone to something that's really happening and amazing, and there are seven people in a room, that sets you up for a real challenge. But if you're inviting people into something that's new and dynamic and just getting off the ground, and you have a chance to be a part of the start, if you will, suddenly that seven people take a whole new dynamic. So the first thing I do is say, what kind of expectations does the planter have, and what kind of expectations is the launch team exhibiting to him? Because they're there. The question is, does he know what they are?
Does he know what they are, and is he articulating them? And
yeah, or normalizing them.
Or normalizing them, sort of creating a culture, as it were.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think it's really important because as a church grows, things are going to shift. You know, the person usually who does something like children's ministry on a launch team, they're great with kids. But let's just say you add 50, 60 people. You don't need someone great with kids now. You need someone who can recruit, identify, and deploy people who are great with kids. Mm-hmm. Totally different skill set for church growth. And many times church planters run into that snag because they're not aware of the pathway that's in front of them. But if you normalize it from the very beginning, you might be able to help that brother or sister who's running that children's ministry to be able to let go of their expectations to allow the growth to occur and maybe get someone else who's more qualified to take it the next level than they are.
Today, it's time to remind yourself of the grace-renewing dynamics at the heart of gospel coaching. Tom's new book, Vital Grace, Getting Everything for Nothing, is the expanded teaching of the core of the coaching you've received in your foundations class when you've trained to become a gospel coach. David Whitehead, Senior Director and Urban Gospel Coaching Trainer with City to City New York, wrote, "This book is a winner and needs to be read by anyone who is serious about going deeper in their walk with Christ." Dr. Bill Sim, Korean Ministries Coordinator for Mission in North America, who recently completed all the pieces of Gospel Coach training, said, "Vital Grace is like a defibrillator, awakening us to experience a radical outpouring of God's grace." Vital Grace, Getting Everything for Nothing by Tom Wood is now available at Amazon.com. Get your copies today, one for you and one for your coachees, so they are saturated in gospel renewal.
That's right. That's good. So I hear some growth dynamics in some of the questions that you're asking, and as a coach, the things that you're listening for. Do you have any kind of numerical marks in your head as far as when launch team dynamics change and when a planter should consider going public on a Sunday morning, et cetera? Does anything in your background, in your training that you bring to the table?
Well, that's a harder question, Jim, because it depends on the model that you're trying to do. If you're doing an attractional model, it's going to be very different than if you're doing, say, a house church or what the term now is micro church. You're doing a micro church model. And so totally different set of qualifications or of measurements, if you will. So depending on what the pastor's really after, and if the pastor wants to, for example, if success means being fully paid by that community, or now, which is probably more normal, bivocational or co-vocational pastors who have a full-time job and are working in ministry, and therefore having a greater freedom of not feeling like they have to meet certain metrics because they've got their table set. There's a whole movement that I've worked with in New York City. When they recruit church planters, one of the things they're looking for is a spouse who has a well-paying full-time job, so that the pastor doesn't have to look to the church for finance. So. It depends on the model, right? There's a lot of different models out there. But if you're looking for, let's just say, an attractional model, the American traditional model, which I'm not so sure how well that's going forward. But if we're looking at that, then I would say really all you need is a good team of 12. Now, a lot of church planting movements say you need 40. That's a lot of pressure on a church planter. I would say if you got 12, and as long as you, once again, managing expectations, I'd start Sunday services without announcing them and just get them going. Robert Coleman in the Master Plan of Evangelism has a fantastic three-word sentence which guides me. He says, "Form follows function." So in other words, function first, and then build a form around it. Don't build a form and try to fill it with function. That rarely works well. So I'd love for more of our coaches to help our planters function better first, and then figure out the form to put around it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're also talking in a North American context, right, which is rather different than in some other cultures that may be listening in. You know, getting 15 people together in America, we say that's your launch team, but in some cultures, 15 people together is their church, the total totality of their house church, because some countries that may be listening aren't even allowed to have more than 15 people in their home due to governmental regulations. So again, I like the principle that you just laid down, is that we need function. So how, again, back to the gospel coach that's listening, that may be working with a planter, again, different culture, different settings, what would be some of the functions that you'd want the coach to be working on with the planter? What would be some of those key things that you say, well, let's talk about this more than how many people do you have on your launch team? How do you get to the launch? Some of them don't even get to a launch team. So how do you get to that? Like, what would be some of those functions that you'd want to work on?
Well, I'd want to make sure that the people are aligned around the vision. And that's really key to everything we're doing. And one of the challenges I find consistently is that church planters feel like their team is more aligned than they actually are. And so there's usually disconnect there. So for example, though, let's just go with, say, two rubrics, mature, growing on one side, and then skilled, unskilled on the other side.
So for example, you can have skilled and mature people, which is what every church planter wants. That's the dream. They rarely come, right? But when you get them, right, at that point, those are the type of people a coach should make sure that there's enough vision there. You want to give skilled and mature people vision. But let's say they're mature, but they're unskilled. They really don't know how to do things within a church or don't know how to function. Well, at that point, you want to bring them into community. You want to make sure, because they've got maturity in the Lord, but they don't know how to launch a church. Well, get them into a cluster of leaders, get them into a small group, get them into something that will help them hone the skills necessary. Let's say you have someone who's growing and they're skilled. Well, then that's discipleship. They're not mature in the Lord, but they actually have a lot of leadership skills. I would make sure that they're growing in their relationship with Christ. Too many times church planters put skilled people in leadership positions who actually are not spiritually mature. And usually that comes back and bites them down the road. And then finally, if they are growing and they are unskilled, what they need is mentorship. They need someone to just get along and then help them just move along. So back to coaching, to this, if a coach can see these four categories based upon these two basic, you know, mature, growing, skilled, unskilled, if a pastor or a planter can look at their launch team and go person by person where they're at, they'll start to be able to create a plan to help their launch team get ready to actually take their church the next level.
Yeah, I think that will be helpful to a coach who's trying to figure out a paradigm. How do I encourage my planter in the things that he can do? If he's doesn't have a sizable launch team yet, but he's parachuted into a city or whatever, what are the things that he should be working on? And launching a church is not it, right?
Right.
And so I, as a coach, I'm coaching him, so let's not focus on planting a church, right? Launching a church or getting a worship service going, you know, put your missionary hat on, right? And So.
A couple of things that I heard you say, Dave, that I think are really important. One of them is one of those things that Tom almost always ends up saying in our foundations course, the magic two words, it depends. You know, as a coach, you're always listening for what they're saying. And then you're thinking about, well, it depends on this or it depends on that. And one question that you brought up was just, what is your approach? You know, what is your goal in the long run? Is it a house church? Is it a big launch? Is it, so you got to get expectations out there. And then just as a coach too, you know, you've implicitly said you're listening for where those knowledge and skill gaps are and helping the coachee by asking good questions based on the experience that you have, depending, you know, we've coached a lot of church planters. Maybe some of our coaches have not, and they may not know the answer, but we're always looking for expertise. We're always helping our coachees look for the things that they need to know. But it really does come back to something that we've emphasized all throughout this season. That's asking good questions that help them draw out what it is that they're experiencing, what it is that they know, what it is that they lack skill in, et cetera, so that they can fit into the context. And I think something that's been, we say all the time, but it's kind of around the edges, draw right down something you said last time we were together about the prayerfulness. To me, that's the first thing that we want to start with is what is the prayer strategy?
So, for example, Jim, just to take, I think what you said is so good. For example, one of the first questions as a coach I might ask is, what's your ideal launch team member? Describe them to me. And then just take all those traits, write them out. And as you do, then say, well, how well does that launch team member know about humility? How much does that, whatever those traits were. And what mechanisms do you have to deliver humility to that launch team member? In other words, how are you going to make this scalable? Or do they just have to be at the right place at the right time to hear you talk about humility? How are you going to scale this out? And so it also needs to diffuse. As a coach, I always want to diffuse among church planters this expectation that they're supposed to have mature leaders in their launch team. Because they're often going, I just don't have the leaders. Well, of course you don't. You haven't created them yet. That is your job. Your job is to cultivate the people God's given you, to disciple them to their potential, and watch how they become faithful to the vision and to you as you make them into the people that God's predestined them to be.
That's so good. You know, so in this season of podcast, we've had John, and we're going to have you come back next season. We're honored, Dave, to have you being a partner with us. I shared the secret last time we were together that I'm so honored to have you as one of our senior level coaches at CMM, on staff, professional coach, and you've been a great value. You're a blessing and a real benediction to the Church of Jesus Christ. Thanks for being such a good team player with us. I'm grateful for you. And let's build this Gospel Coach Network together, okay?
Amen. Well, it's a privilege to be with you and Jim. Both of you are giants in coaching to me, and so grateful for the input and the way that you've helped shape and mold me to be who I am today. So I'm grateful.
Thanks. All right, till next time. Thanks for joining us on this podcast.
Thank you for joining us. Remember, we'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment or a story to share, send us a note via gospelcoachnetwork@gmail.com.